And please turn to Matthew 24:15. In fact, the title of today is Olivet Discourse Part 4. And as far as the scripture is concerned, it's Matthew 24:15-22 continued, because we started this very important section about the abomination of desolation last week. And so we're going to be diving down into verse 15 deeper. You know, what is the abomination of desolation? What is happening? We only touched on it briefly last week, that it's going to be right at the time that the witness, you know, the Antichrist comes and kills the two witnesses. 140, they go up into heaven. The 144,000 are in heaven. And now the angels are flying, because now Satan is full bore possessing the Antichrist, because the Antichrist went into the temple to declare himself to be God. Today we're going to look at what Daniel says. Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." And Mark 13 repeats that. Luke 17 kind of does. But Luke 17 is not the Olivet Discourse. Luke 21 is. But as we've emphasized in previous studies, Luke 21 is recording the destruction of the temple in Jesus' day. Matthew and Mark are talking about an abomination of desolation that happens future to us. The Antichrist goes into the temple to defile it, to create an abomination of desolation. Titus in 70 AD didn't do that. So the Matthew 24, Mark 13 details, and Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 12 were not fulfilled in 70 AD. They have to be fulfilled in the future. And if we were living in 1930s, we'd have had a hard time understanding how it could be fulfilled in the future, because it requires the Jews to be back in the land of Israel and a temple and sacrifices to be happening. And everybody in the 30s would be saying, that's never going to happen. And now, the Jews are in the land. They're planning on building a temple. And we can say right here, not having gone to any super college, Georgetown University, become political, you know, geopolitical experts, we can say right here, because of the Bible, that someday the Jews are going to be building a third temple. They are going to be sacrificing animals. There is going to be a world leader that is going to let them do so. And then he is going to change his mind, and he's going to tell them, you got to stop. I'm God. You don't worship Yahweh anymore. You worship me, or you die. We know that's going to happen. And they don't know what's going to, you know, everybody else in the world doesn't know, because they don't want to acknowledge the Creator who tells us these things before they happen, so that we can know. Why waste time with Buddha? Why waste time in Hinduism? Why waste time with anybody else? It doesn't tell me anything that's going to be happening. This God knows what's happening. He's got to be the real God. So I want to follow him, and I want to learn of him, because he told me these things. So on page 2 of your notes, and these notes will be posted at the website following this study that's being streamed live. But I want to emphasize, top of page 2, it's critical to understand this section of the Olivet Discourse by understanding Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 12. And recently, in a prophecy update at the beginning of the year, we covered this, so I'm half inclined to not put a whole bunch of time into it. But anybody that's listening to this and want to get the full picture, we spent a lot of time on these verses in our Daniel study. So you can go to our website at calvarypo.org or calvarypo.com. Go to the Daniel study for chapter 9, and you can get the details. So I'm going to kind of blow through this compared to the more detailed study, but 70 weeks, Daniel 9:24, 77s in the Hebrew means 77s, interpreted as 70 times 7 years or 490 years. So, and there's no dispute about this. People that understand the Hebrew there, he's saying there's 490 years that are determined for your people, the Jews. You know, the Gentile church is not your people. This is talking at Daniel is a Jew. So there's 490 years that are going to apply to your people, the Jews. And for your holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. So there's going to, all prophecy is going to be fulfilled. The anointing of the Most Holy, which is the Messiah ruling on earth for the 1,000-year reign, all that is going to be taking place in 490 years. And then it goes on to say, but we know it's not continuous, because it goes on to say, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, not the temple, that's important, because the first decree, when Persia King Cyrus took over, he saw that he was named in the book of Isaiah, 150 years before he was alive. God's named the person that would allow the Jews to go back and rebuild their temple. And so the Jews came, Cyrus, we knew you were coming from the prophetic word from 150 years ago. Our God named you. And he said, you're going to let us go back and build our temple. And Cyrus goes, decree, go rebuild the temple. It's recorded in the historical scriptures, post-exilic prophets. And so, but this is from the, to build Jerusalem. So there was another decree after the building the temple decree. There was a decree recorded in Ezra that is to build the city of Jerusalem, to restore the walls of Jerusalem. So know therefore and understand from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, which is Jesus, until he comes, there shall be a total of 7 weeks plus 62 weeks, which is 69 weeks or 483 years. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. And so then, I mention there and point out the raptureready.com article where Dr. David Reagan makes a case. There's two different views on what starts that 483, the command to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And he contends that the commandment 457 BC to build Jerusalem is recorded in Ezra 9:9, which says, God has not forsaken us, but has extended loving kindness to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us reviving, to raise up the house of our God, to restore its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. So Ezra records that's recorded and believed to be in 457 BC. And so 483 years later, what is Jesus doing? This is what David Reagan makes the case. 483 years later, Jesus is going into the synagogue in Nazareth, and he's reading the book of Isaiah prophesying the coming of the Messiah in Isaiah 61. And the last thing he says is in verse 20, Luke chapter 4, go down to verse 20. I have the whole thing from 17 to 20, but we'll read 20 for just the punchline. Then he, Jesus, closed the book. He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So David Reagan makes a case. Boom. That's the coming of the Messiah. He's saying, I admit, from the command to go on and rebuild Jerusalem, the walls, recorded in Ezra, until Jesus goes into the synagogue and says, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. And it's Isaiah 61 is prophesying the coming Messiah. So I am that first coming of the Messiah. And the alternate view is that the command is recorded in Nehemiah to start, and you use 360 day years instead of 365 day years, and the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, where he's hailed as the Messiah, is the end point. And people make a big deal about, no, it's this, or no, it's that, and I say, it doesn't matter. because the bottom line is, God knows what he meant by when the command is going to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and he knows exactly that it was fulfilled when Jesus came. And no matter what, it's right there. Both views are so close, it's not even worth arguing about. But God made it clear. And I've emphasized it so often. You read the gospel accounts, the disciples are saying, we found him, because they're looking for him because of this verse. They knew when the command was given to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And they know, well, I don't know, like I've mentioned recently, I don't know if it's when he's going to be born or when he's going to somehow show up or whatever else, but they knew it was soon. They knew Daniel's prophecy had to be soon. And Jesus shows up right at that time. And that's why, oh, we found him. We found the Messiah that Daniel chapter 9 prophesied. So, but that's only 483 years. Then Daniel 9:26 on top of page 3. And remember that it started before 26. It was 7 years and 62 years, which is a total of 69 years that Messiah will be cut off. So after the 483 years, Messiah will be cut off. That word is karat in the Hebrew. And that word karat is used for sacrificially killed. Making covenant. It means making covenant. Did Jesus make a covenant when he was killed? Yeah, we call it the new covenant. Or we call it the New Testament. He was sacrificially killed to create a new covenant where anybody, Jew and Gentile, can come straight to God by faith in Jesus that he has shed blood on the cross, wiped away our sins to give us a new covenant where God says the new covenant will come. And when it does, he will write his laws on our heart because he will forgive us from our sins. That's what Jeremiah says as the new covenant quoted in the book of Hebrews. Let's go back to 9:26. After the 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. He won't die for his sins. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And we have to realize, so who destroyed the city and the sanctuary when Jesus was cut off? It was the Romans. When Daniel's writing this, the Romans aren't even on the map. I mean, the Romans are nothing. The Medo-Persian Empire is in power. So he can't say the Romans are going to come. There was no way to say the Romans are going to come. So he said the people of the prince who is to come. So he said, so Messiah will be cut off. The people of the prince who is to come will destroy the sanctuary. So we know it meant the Roman Empire, which is going to be years and years later, 483 years later. The end of it, the city and the sanctuary, shall be with a flood, literally a dispersion. The Jews are going to be dispersed until the end, until the very end. There's going to be war and desolations are determined upon the Jewish people. Is that true? Have they been scattered since 70 AD? They're still scattered, but a lot of them have come back, and the other prophets talk about them coming back. And have they experienced wars throughout all that time? Being hunted down, wars, dealing with stuff. People have always hated the Jews. And so all of that is being fulfilled. So now what we have to do, if you haven't written it in your Bible from our previous studies before, put in between verse 26 and 27, said 2,000-year gap. Because 26 was 2,000 years ago. The destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And then verse 27 hasn't been fulfilled yet. And so there's the church is inserted. And you can go through the whole Old Testament. You can read the whole Old Testament. And there is nothing in the Old Testament about the church. There's nothing about the Jews, you know, being benched as the chosen people, the witness people. They're benched to be the witness people. And now the church has come, the new dispensation, the new covenant is Gentile and Jew. The only thing it says in the Old Testament is the Messiah is going to be a light unto the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are going to be blessed by his coming. But that's it. It doesn't talk anymore. It doesn't talk about how long the time of the church is going to be, except for one verse. It seems like there's one verse in Hosea that talks about it being close to 2,000 years, which is, I think it's true because we're close to 2,000 years, and there's stuff happening that we'll talk about here in a minute. And so the Old Testament is about the Jews. This chapter 9 is about the Jews. It's about thy people and thy holy city, Jerusalem. And so now there's an interlude. The stopwatch stopped when Jesus was crucified. It's going to be clicked again, and it's going to start the time of the last 7 years. There was 483 years associated with 69 sevens. There's one 7 year period of time left. It's called, theologically, it's called the 70th week of Daniel. Has been put on pause. Everybody, I've got to make this clear. It's like one more 7-year period of time applies to thy people, the Jews, and thy holy city, Jerusalem. It hasn't started yet, because the next verse tells us what starts it. Then he, the prince who is to come from verse 26. So the context of he is the people, the prince of the people who are to come. The people that came were the Romans. So this is where people believe the Antichrist is going to come out of the old Roman Empire. But the old Roman Empire really became the Western world. So the Antichrist is going to be Western. He's coming out. This is telling us he comes out of the Western / European Empire. People say, oh no, the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim because they chop everybody's heads off and that's what the Antichrist is going to do. And they make a bunch of other cases. No, they're not going to be. Well, what we can know too is that, you know, the people that are opposing the formation of the global, who wants the global government to happen? You know, it's the Western world. It's a European, Western, deep state that wants global government. Who doesn't want it? The Islamic State. The Russians don't want it. Iranians don't want it. Other people, we don't want you ruling us. You know, we got our own thing we want to do. And so, when the Ukraine-Russia war started, you know, we had a prophecy update when that happened, and I go, based on this scripture, based on us knowing that verse right there, if you're for the Ukrainians, you're for the globalists, because the purpose of the war was for the Ukrainians to get rid of the Russians who were opposed to the New World Order. If you're for the Ukrainians, you're for the globalists. If you're for Russia, you're for the losers. Even though it's debated nowadays, but Russia's gaining ground, but they're also getting severe. They both have lost 1 million people. But nobody gets to stay a nation state. Russia is fighting because we don't want the world telling us what we have to do. We don't want a deep state ruling us. And we're not going to let you have a deep state ruling us. Well, that's going to lose, because ultimately the whole world is going to be under the global empire of the Antichrist. So they're going to lose somehow, someday. We don't know exactly how, but God does. And he told us it's all going to be a global government with the prince who is to come, coming out of Europe. Shall confirm, and confirm means to enforce. A covenant, people say there's going to be a peace treaty. It's going to be a peace treaty the Antichrist brings. No, it doesn't say a peace treaty. It says he's going to enforce a covenant, a deal. Contractual agreement with many nations for 1 week, the last 70th week of Daniel, that last 7 years from 483 to 70, or to 490, for 1 week, literally 1-7. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 years into it, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, which requires the Jews to be in the land of Israel, in control of Jerusalem Temple Mount, enough to have a third temple, enough and able to have sacrifices and offerings happening for the first time in 2,000 years. So once again, as I've emphasized so many times, the Jews are in the land of Israel today by God's divine covenant to set the stage for the fulfillment of this 2,500-year-old prophecy. And it doesn't matter what people think, they're going to stay there. It is going to happen. And it looks impossible now, but it is going to happen someday. And so the Antichrist is going to let them have sacrifices and offerings. And then 3.5 years into his 7-year deal, he's going to say, stop it. He's going to double-cross the Jews. He's going to go into the temple, declare himself to be God, and create, you know, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And then it goes on to say, and on the wing of abominations, which is what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 15. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, he's pointing to that verse right there. And so he's going to do an abomination. And, you know, Paul, under inspiration in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, tells us the abomination is him going into the Holy of Holies, declaring himself to be God. And some people think that he'll also be sacrificing a pig like Antiochus Epiphanes did. Whatever happens, it's going to be a mock. Shall be one who makes desolate. The Antichrist is going to bring desolation. even until the consummation, until the end, when Jesus returns, which is determined is poured out on the desolate. When Jesus comes, he's going to put an end to it. And so, let's, turn to Isaiah 28:14 in your notes. And I have to thank Bill Salas. He's a very popular prophecy teacher. This day we used to talk on the phone and stuff about different things. And in one of those conversations, he turned me on to this, that this is such an important piece of the puzzle. And with all prophecy, there's all these pieces, all these statements. And the difficult thing, which Bill is really good at, is taking all of them and putting them together so they fit. You ever done a puzzle and a piece almost fits, but it doesn't? And you can go ahead and, it fits now. It fits now, but when you get all done, it's still messed up because it's not the piece that was supposed to go there. And most people just come up with their ideas of what's going to happen with just, I just think this should fit here. Well, it doesn't fit there. So where does Isaiah 28 fit? I think it fits perfectly with going along with what this covenant is that the Antichrist is going to enforce. And it really lends itself to even helping to explain the hatred that people have towards the leaders of Israel today, because God calls them in chapter 28, verse 14. He calls the leaders of Israel, and I think talking to our generation, he calls them scornful men because they make a deal with the devil. And what's the devil? But the people that hate the Jews for their deep state alliances, who's the devil to them? The deep state. And so therefore, here are the words, verse 14 of Isaiah 28. Here are the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people, the Jews, who are in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. And with Sheol, hell. I mean, Sheol is holding place for the dead in the Old Testament. It's equivalent to hell, Hades in the Greek. We are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. So scornful men in Israel are making lies and falsehoods their way of doing things because they've made a deal with somebody that lets the scourge pass over them. And God's not impressed. So that's why I say, you hate the Jewish leadership, the deep state leadership of the Jews, because they're working with the global government. God said it's going to happen. Not surprised. They're going to get together with scornful men. So what's the scourge? That they're making a deal so that they will be saved from the overflowing scourge that passes through. Now, this is my conjecture. Is that when the 10-nation global empire comes, they're going to establish global religion. And people that I've read about the globalist mindsets and in different books of how do we go from here, 194 nations, to global government? How can we maintain the peace? And they all recognize people are religious. And if you have the Hindus against the Buddhists, against the Muslims, against the Christians, you're never going to have peace. So what do you have to do? You have to work with the different religions, make the Pope the center house, where he brings in all these people and says, can't we just do kumbaya? Can't we just lay down our narrow-minded doctrines and just make the world a better place, create a global religion? Have you ever seen the bumper sticker that has all the religions, all the insignias? Can't we just be one? What does it say? Can't we just coexist? Everybody just lay down your stuff? Well, the Jews, are they looking to lay down their stuff? It's their entire identity, is that we are descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel. We're here. Our mission, our holy book tells us our Messiah is going to come and set up his reign forever. And we're supposed to be worshiping in a temple and doing the laws of Moses and sacrifice. We cannot give that up. And we're going to see that the coming wars, the world's going to think, well, we got rid of the Jews because they're all dead. But they're not dead. And God miraculously keeps them from dying. And so the Antichrist is going to sit down, the global leaders are going to sit down with the Jews and go, well, since you just don't know how to die, we're going to let you do your God thing, because obviously your God kept you from annihilation. And so we're going to let you, on a 7-year trial basis, we're going to let you build your temple and start sacrifice. And it's going to happen. And then 3.5 years afterwards, the Antichrist is going to change his mind. But he's saying here, Isaiah is prophesying 2,700 years ago that the Jewish leaders are going to make this deal with this bad guy. And then verse 16, he says, you shouldn't do that because I've got a real Messiah. You guys are going to think he's the Messiah. Therefore, because of this deal by the scornful men ruling from Jerusalem, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. I'm going to put the true Messiah right there in Jerusalem, 2,000 years ago for us, Jesus. He's the true Messiah. You guys are waiting for just a man. You're going to embrace a man as your Messiah because he lets you build a temple in the last days. Well, guess what? I gave you a Messiah 2,000 years earlier. And then he goes on to say, your scornful men, covenant with death, with the Antichrist, will be annulled. He's going to rip it up. He's going to rip up his contract. And your agreement with Sheol, with hell, with the devil, will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you. Your mourning by mourning, it will for morning by morning it will pass over, and by day and by night it will be a terror just to understand the report. You've got this special dispensation that you alone on the planet can worship your God the way you want to on this little plot of land on Temple Mount. Everybody else can't say Jesus is the only way to be saved. They get killed. Nobody can say that Yahweh sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and believe that. You do that, you die. Even if you're a Muslim and say, well, I want to be a serious Muslim and slay the infidel wherever I can, you're dead. Everybody should be a Buddhist, you're dead. Everybody dies except for the Jews saying, we know our God's the only God. And we're going to worship him on Temple Mount. You made a deal for 7 years. 3.5 years into it, he breaks the deal. And God's telling him, you leaders thought you trusted in man and you rejected Jesus. Well, guess what? The scourge is going to come anyway. And as soon as the 3.5 years starts, the abomination of desolation happens, he's going to be hunting you guys down every day, every night, until the end. Yeah, the scourge is going to come. So, And then it goes on to say, in Daniel chapter 12, going back to Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away by the Antichrist 3.5 years into it, as alluded to in Isaiah 28, and the abomination of desolation is set up, the image of the Antichrist where he declares himself to be God and everybody has to worship the image and him, there shall be 1,290 days until Jesus physically returns to rescue the remnant. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335th day. We'll get to that when we get to Matthew 25. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest, talking to Daniel, rest and rise to your inheritance at the end of days. It's not going to happen anytime soon, Daniel. Go away. This, what I just told you, is a long time. Well, 25 plus 100 years ago. And the emphasis I want to make is, I alluded to last week, it tells the people the exact day he comes back. As soon as the people that are alive on the world will see on the national news that the Antichrist went into the Holy of Holies and the rebuilt Jewish temple and just told the Jews, you're done. I'm God, you're God, Yahweh is no good, your Jesus is no good, put an end to sacrifice, people will be able to say, from that time will be 1,290 days. And then Jesus comes back. But Jesus said in Matthew 24:36 that nobody knows the day or the hour. Well, nobody knows the day or the hour of the rapture, which could be today. But we could know, but the people during the tribulation know exactly when he comes back from this verse. And so going back to Matthew 24:15-22. Whatever really happens with the abomination of desolation, it is clear from the warnings of Jesus that those Jews living in Israel at the time will need to immediately leave Jerusalem when they see the abomination of desolation. Spoken of by the prophet Daniel in chapter 9. And now I'm going to go for we're going to start this, we'll finish it next week. But again, putting all the pieces together of again, 50 plus years of studying prophecy, listening to a lot of prophecy teachers. This is my, and I did this years ago, I'm not wanting to change anything. Of how everything fits together, not that it will fit together when it actually happens, but this is conjecture that applies, I think, to our day. And I mean really our day. Because how do we go from 194 nations to 10? How do we go from nationalism to globalism on a global scale? How do we have the kind of tyranny where an antichrist can rule the world and decide that anybody that doesn't worship his image and him and take his name in our hand is going to be killed, hunted down and killed, and nobody will be able to buy or sell? Those are the things the Bible says. How is it possible that we could get there? This is an article from February 9th. This year, 2026, so just a few days ago, something big is happening. And the author is a major computer programmer that's programmed AI. And it's a handout back there, it'll be on our website. Something big is happening. AI is taking over the world. AI is going to allow a global leader to control the buying and selling of everybody on the planet. He's saying, just a couple of years ago, he was writing computer programs, and he tried basic AI then. It's lousy at writing. Now he tells what he wants as an app for somebody, and AI cranks it out. He finds no mistakes. It's ready to go. Stuff that his job is paid to do. And now AI is knowing how to make the next generation of AI. It learns from its own mistakes to make the next generation of AI. And there will be, and he talks about how all the jobs are going to be affected and everything. Without this technology, the Antichrist can't rule. The technology is here. Without the Antichrist, without the global military industrial complex, we can't have the kind of wars that are talked about. But the global military industrial complex is ready to duke it. In fact, the news right now, today, what is today? The 18th of February, 2026. Iran just told all of its medical people, you need to be on immediate call for mass casualties. Israel's done the same thing. Iran says that tomorrow they're closing airspace. They take out they warn all airplanes. Notice to civilian, everybody. You don't fly in this area. They make a block where you can't fly anywhere here, which happens to be areas where their missiles would be launched at Israel if they wanted to. So they want to take out a civilian passenger plane if missiles are flying or if there's an attack coming their way. Israel's in full military alert. Trump says you have until the end of this month. Otherwise, we're going to take other options for you, Iran, to stop your nuclear ambitions. And if you don't stop by the end of the month, then other options are going to be used. People are speculating that Iran knows that that means that they're going to then be hit, and so they want to, they might want a first strike. And some people are anticipating that because they're having the NOTAM, you know, the notice to airmen, for tomorrow, and starting tomorrow, that they might preempt tomorrow. We have the greatest increase of military equipment in the Middle East since the Gulf War. Stuff is flying over there, every single asset. The Russians have moved their doomsday plane to Iran to be able to pick up any Iranian leaders that want to have the equivalent of our doomsday plane that can still keep communications going in a time of war. So the Russians are increasing their alliance with Iran, which is something the Bible says, that there's going to be an alliance between Russia and Iran. I don't know if war is going to break out this week or by the end of the month or anything. Only God knows. But there is such incredible saber rattling going on right now. But and I sure wish they would find Savannah Guthrie's mother, because that's top of the news every day. I mean, have you noticed? It's like, are we crazy or something that the economy's ready to collapse, that the Federal Reserve has pumped more billions of dollars into the banking system this last week than they have since the COVID days. And there's all this going on, and we have one person that got kidnapped in the middle of, you know, thousands of kids that have been kidnapped and trafficked by the Democrats and the godless people that have been lost, tens of thousands of kids with all the stuff and all the stuff that was happening in Epstein Island and everything else that was going on, and that's more important than we're on the verge of World War III. And so, for the sake of conjecture, I'll do the good part first. The church, number one, the church will be raptured sometime before the Antichrist is revealed to the world, as he fully establishes his power over the 10-nation global government. How do we know that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. Or chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, we know what is hindering him being revealed, and what's hindering must be taken out of the way for him to be revealed. Now, there's a lot of debate. The anti-rapture people want to twist that to say it doesn't say that. Doesn't say that we're the ones restraining him. We're going to be taken out before the Antichrist is revealed. Well, and the Antichrist isn't revealed according to the book of Daniel, chapter 7. He's not revealed until the 10-nation global government forms. Those 10 guys, they're not the Antichrist. The Antichrist comes when he takes out 3 of those guys and becomes the head. Then he's fully revealed. That guy is, he's the Antichrist. Everybody in the world that reads the Bible will know he's the Antichrist. So the global government forms before the Antichrist is actually revealed. And we're gone by the time final revealing. Plus, we have to be gone before peace is taken from the world, resulting in 1/4 the world's population being killed, because that's what Revelation 6 is. Jesus is popping the seals of the scroll. The second seal is peace gets taken from the world, as we mentioned last week, and 1/4 of the world's population dies in war and famine that results from it. And so, and then we're going to talk next week about Psalm 83, Isaiah 17. And I would encourage you to, you know, go ahead if you're wanting to look at this that we're not going to cover. We'll cover it for those that are listening online next week. But you can jump ahead, especially if it gets going. You know, some of these wars might be while we're still here. But these coming wars are going to set up for a global government. The survivors of the coming conflict are going to say, give us global government or give us death. Because have you noticed that the military-industrial complex of the world is spending trillions of dollars? And you grieve over the fact that, you know, you spend billions of dollars for a missile system. Then somebody spends billions of dollars for an anti-missile system. And then you have billions of dollars to overcome that. Then billions of dollars to make drones. Billions of dollars to make anti-drones. Billions of dollars to make submarines. Billions of dollars to make remote-controlled submarines, AI submarines. And all the time, people can't eat. They can't pay their rent. They can't do this. And then they're going to realize, and all this is getting to the point where it could kill everybody on the planet. And then it kills a fourth of the planet. And just like Eisenhower said, if we don't shut down the military-industrial complex lust for war, we're all going to die. And then people will say, we got to shut it down. Well, how do we shut it down? You know, because the Hatfields over there and I'm the McCoys over here and they get a gun, I want a gun. They want two guns, I want two guns. How do we shut it down? You make a global government. And you control through digital control of the financial system of the world. You make it so nobody can even buy a nut or a bolt for a tank or a plane or an AR or ammo or nothing. And then you've just guaranteed peace to the world, except it doesn't work out that way. But it'll sound good. It'll sound good, and the people will embrace it. And they'll lay down their nationalism for the sake of survival. And that's where the world's headed, and we can see it on the horizon. You can see where this conflict that's coming, which we'll cover next week, we might be in the middle of it next week for all we know, and we'll cover it. Now, I'm not predicting it's going to happen this week. I'm just listening to what's being said. People are making the threats and preparing their people. How is it possible Daniel could write this stuff? How is it possible that Jesus could say these things? And then you go 2,000 years and you go, wow, everything they're talking about can actually literally be fulfilled. Right? I mean, we're in the day that it could happen. Only the true God who created the heavens and the earth could do this. And he did it. He told us so we could know. We are not making up this religion of Christianity to just have something to believe in. We are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God in flesh who came to save us from sin. And we better worship him while there's time. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would open up our hearts to truly love you, God. If there's anybody here that hasn't wholly given their life to you, God, forgive me, a sinner. I need you. I want to humble myself and say I need to be in a relationship with my Creator, which means I need to be forgiven. And I've sinned against you. And I want to be made clean. And I want you to be the Lord of my life. And I want you to come into my heart and to change the way I think, that I would be obedient to your word, Lord. And I'd be convicted by your Holy Spirit when I'm not, so that I could just learn to love you like you love me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, loving Shepherd, Vine of the branches, Son of God, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Lord of the universe, Light of the world. Jesus, way of salvation, King of kings, Lord of lords, the way, the truth, Creator, my Savior and friend. name above all names. Beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
He's a living Word. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And He became flesh and dwelt among us to save us. God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.